You're listening to Trek FM.
Maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey.
To the journey.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to the Journey.
To the Journey! To the Journey!
I am your co-host, Tristan Riddell, and with me, as always, is...
Lori, and also...
Charlene!
And we are here to give you the weekly Voyager message, and today's message entails Chakotay. That's right. A deep, deep character analysis of our favorite first officer of the show, at least, Chakotay. Now, a lot of people love him. A lot of people hate him. He's one of those... I've never really met any lukewarm Chakotay fans. I feel like I've never met anyone who said, like, eh, you know, he's okay. It's either like, oh, yeah, no, Chakotay's a great guy, or no, Robert Beltran sucks. It's never like, I've never heard, like, Chakotay sucks. It's usually, oh, Robert Beltran just hated his role. Like, you know, that's what we hear about.
Yes, they're very much one and the same, and people get polarized on this issue. I agree with you that I don't know if many people are thinking, yeah, Chakotay was just okay. It's love or hate.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, and I, for one, like, I'd love to start off talking about our feelings of Chakotay and our first impressions and then just kind of go from there. Personally, I really like Chakotay. I'm a big fan of XOs. I mean, if you look at all the series, I feel like the XOs were picked very well. I think the only one I was really shaky on was Kira at first. Like, I did not like Kira in Deep Space Nine at first.
Okay. Oh, but she grew on you?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I think she I think Kira has one of the greatest arcs in Deep Space Nine. It kind of slips in there. You don't really think, like, when you think great arcs in Deep Space Nine, you usually think, like, Odo or Sisko or, you know, or whomever. You don't really think Kira, and I feel like she kind of, the writers slipped one in with her, and she's very polarized from the beginning and the end.
Oh, definitely.
And I feel like Chakotay didn't really get that in the series. I feel like he didn't get a big arc. I feel like he was someone in Caretaker and then a different person in the second season. But I like him. I like who he is. I like how he was played. Even though Tom Paris would be my best man, you know, at my wedding.
Yeah. I'm with you on that.
Yeah, like, Tom Paris would be my best man, but Chakotay would be, like, the uncle who gives the toast.
Yeah.
Right? That makes sense. That is his
to
role.
So, Lori, how about you? What was your first impressions of Chakotay, and what do you like or dislike about him?
Oh, at first, I mean, I like the bad boy. I like the tough guy at first. I mean, I thought, well, this is going to be a challenge to put all of these people together on this ship. This should be interesting to watch. And then, like you said, the next episode, where's that guy that was in that first episode? What happened to him?
Where's that freedom fighter?
Yeah, he's just Mr. Starfleet now. I have a theory.
They neutered him.
I that's what I was going to say. I have a theory. He fell in love with her, so he.
Oh.
Yes.
No. Is this a serious theory, or are you just being funny, or what? Do you honestly?
I mean, it's. I wouldn't say it was serious. I'm not going to write a paper about it or anything, but. but I mean.
Now come on, that's a dissertation right there.
Oh yeah, sure. Let me. What am I getting my PhD?
Get on that
Voyager. There you go.
I have read several thesis and dissertations on Star Trek.
Sure.
When I was writing my own, I really contemplated doing it on Star Trek, and I got all these delivered to me from my library, and I was just like, these are awesome. Why didn't I do this?
I've read a couple myself. Done one? No.
Yeah, I can see that, going to defend that in front of the committee. You're an elementary school teacher. Why are you, what is the deal here? But anyway.
Anyway,
but, I just thought, well, you know, he gave that angry warrior speech in Resolutions, and he said he was a fighter, and then he found peace when he met her, so maybe that's what it was. He was trying to win her over.
That's a good point. Lori, I forgot about that tale that he gave. And I really like that moment. I forgot about that one. I feel like, yeah, I mean, anyone who doubts what you're saying about him kind of becoming calm because he fell in love with her and showed respect, I mean, that is the biggest piece of evidence right there.
Well, there
I like
you go.
That.
But
Char, how about you?
All right. Well, I agree with what Lori said. We have in this beginning a nice gung-ho. We think he's going to be this contrarian warrior, just beat everybody up kind of type, you know, a little rough, and because that's what he's kind of doing. He's fighting for his homeworld, so he's just going to fight. And then, not really. We pretty much don't see that guy come back until Learning Curve, where he punches one of his former Maquis officers in the face.
That was
to
cool.
Demonstrate the Maquis way. And I think, why didn't we see more of him doing that? Because I like that version of Chakotay.
Yeah.
And we see, I think, a guy that's just a little too mellowed out as the series goes on. And I think he mellowed out way too fast. Whether he fell in love with Janeway or not. I mean, I do love that exchange they have in Caretaker, when he beams aboard, that look they give each other the first time. They're mere inches apart, and they're just really intently trying to figure each other out.
It's electric.
Seriously, man. The ions going between those two. Holy, wow, were they charged? Because something was definitely going on there. And you know what? If he didn't, in fact, fall in love with Janeway, he at least became a very devoted first officer to her.
Yeah, he did.
He was at her beck and call, her every whim. And I liked that to a point, and yet I did want to see a little more disagreement between the two, because I think they balance each other out very well, and only when it was the very most important of times did he actually disagree with her. We saw it a couple times. We saw it in Scorpion.
Yeah, and Equinox.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that I think that is the one and only time that we actually saw and heard Janeway actually admit, you know, maybe I was wrong on this one.
Yeah, maybe.
You think?
I was maybe just a little too batshit crazy on this one. I guess I'd better admit that. That's the only times, though, and I really think we could have seen more of Chakotay in that sense, checking her a little more. I guess maybe he just got tired of being shot down all the time. Like, I always joke that Worf gets shot down all the time. Just Picard tells him no however many times in the series. Janeway does the same thing to Chakotay. She goes in with her plan in place before the staff meeting. She gets the input and then says, okay, well, that's great. But then I have this plan and this is what we're really going to do.
Yeah, I think you hit it on the head earlier when you were talking about how he mellowed out too early.
Yeah,
and
he did.
I feel like if we, instead of seeing him mellow out in season two, it should have been season 4 or 5.
Yeah.
Really, where
that
like
would have been great.
We could have seen that devotion happen more often. We could have seen the progression of devotion, but that gentility. Now, everyone has always described Chakotay as gentle and kind.
Yeah.
But you can still be gentle and kind while still being fierce about what you love or about your opinion.
Definitely.
And I feel like I liked the gentle side of Chakotay because it gave this very wise and calming tone to him that was needed on that on that starship. Now, granted, Tuvok gave us that, but it was not warm. You know,
right.
It was like just because he was calm and logical doesn't mean it was warm. I always felt like Tuvok was a little bit too stoic.
Absolutely. Tuvok was cool, calm, whereas Chakotay was warm, calm. Mm-hmm. He was serene.
There you go.
Right.
That's a perfect word for it. But Char, you ended your likes and dislikes about him on the confrontations that he had with Janeway. Let's talk about that just a little bit. Now, we've talked about it in great deal in the past. When we were talking about Janeway, when we talked about like a character analysis, but I felt like the main difference between Scorpion and like the Scorpion confrontations and the Equinox confrontations was Scorpion was much more in line with who Chakotay is and why he would disagree. He's like, no, you cannot trust these people. This is wrong. You're wrong, and I'm going to prove you wrong. And in Equinox, Janeway's the one who went a little crazy, and Chakotay's like, you can't do this, you can't go to extremes, this is Starfleet, you know, you're a Starfleet officer. No, you're a Maquis, you know that you need to get stuff done no matter what. That was my feeling.
I love Scorpion that you brought this up. Yes, it's absolutely true, because I think if anybody who should have been going crazy on the Equinox crew members, I think it should have been Chakotay.
Mm-hmm.
Because it seems so out of character for Janeway. I mean, yes, yeah. These people are breaking Starfleet principles, but I really think that Chakotay, as the so-called rogue, he's the one that could have been a little more justified, darn near threatening to torture these people.
That should have been the role of Tuvok. What happened in Equinox should have been the role of Tuvok, in my opinion.
Tell me about this.
I know that they wanted to use that two-part episode to show confrontation between Janeway and Chakotay, because they realize, oh crap, this is the end of, was it the fifth or sixth season?
Fifth.
It was the end of it. Thank you. It was the end of the fifth season, and we're like, we have had no arguments between, or very little arguments between the XO and the captain.
They've been having dinner,
right? Yeah. And so they're like, okay, let's throw it in there. But I feel like Janeway and Chakotay should have been on a united front, and Tuvok should have been the one who said, no, this is not right. Like, it should have been Janeway's decisions, and Chakotay put them out. Like, he's the one who threw the guy. Like, Janeway said, take care of it. Chakotay throws the guy into the airlock, and Tuvok says, no, this is wrong. Mm. And he has to go to Janeway and convince her that it's wrong. Like, okay. I feel like Chakotay should have been the one who carried out her orders in this episode.
I kind of like that, but I have an idea. I almost would have rather have seen Chakotay carry out her orders and then realize, this is wrong. Mm. I can't do this.
Yeah.
I can't follow your orders because something morally is pushing me out of the way of being able to do this with a clear conscience.
Yeah. Because
now,
like, right off the bat,
that would have been Chakotay.
Yeah, you're right. Because right off the bat, he was like, no, this is wrong. There should have been some sort of mini arc where he's like, okay, the old Chakotay would have done this. But maybe because I've been listening to you and I'm devoted to you, you've taught me not to do this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Right. And now you're telling me to do the opposite does not compute. I have a problem.
But then they did that with Seven and Janeway all the time.
In the
fifth and sixth season, it was just like, oh, you told me to be human, but the moment I'm human, you tell me not to do something.
Wake up your mind.
That fight ensues. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
This is very true, and maybe that's why they didn't go that route, so they were not repeating storylines they've already done.
Mm.
But I would have rather seen Chakotay go on that journey and have a conflict, and then Janeway and Chakotay have to find a solution together, because they are better together. I mean, that was kind of a moral of Equinox's. And Scorpion. Because, okay, let's talk about Scorpion for just a sec, because Janeway goes with her plan, despite Chakotay's objection. He says, I'm your first officer, I'll follow your orders. They go through with her plan. But once she is unconscious, he's in command and he says, we're going to do it my way.
Right.
Because I don't think that this is going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as she's back to life again, she is very unhappy and a little bit of a conflict ensues. And then she kind of takes a breath and realizes, okay, this isn't working either. There's two problems, and one is in this room. Mm-hmm. We need to work together. Mm-hmm. Then they come up with the solution. Mm-hmm. They need to work together.
Right.
I really like Janeway and Chakotay as captain and first officer. They work well together.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the best showcase of that, in my opinion. I feel like Scorpion was just a great story, and with one of the greatest enemies to the Federation, and an even greater threat to the greatest enemy in the Federation.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, this is true. I think it's one of my favorites as well. I love Scorpion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we get a new character, and we see an old character leave after that. Mm-hmm. And it's all good stuff in that episode. And with that in mind, now the good Chakotay episodes are not really focused on Chakotay. Like we said, like with Scorpion and Equinox were great episodes, but it was focused on Janeway and Chakotay.
Right.
Yeah.
You could say the same thing of Shattered as well.
Right.
Absolutely.
True.
Like, even though he was the protagonist, it was still the journey of the two of them going down memory lane.
Yep.
Right.
And so these are key Chakotay episodes and very good Chakotay episodes, but if you look at the ones that are solely him, they're not very good.
They're not typically considered favorites. No, let's put it that way.
Like, and you girls are going to have to help me because I'm not... I can tell you the stories, but I cannot remember the episode titles real quick. There was one of the first that I can remember. I'm not saying it's one of the first only Chakotay episodes, but it's when he is stranded on a moon with
Initiations.
The Kazon boy. Thank you, Initiations. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, the young Kazon kid.
Yeah.
Who's actually played by
Nog.
Yeah. who plays Nog, which I thought was such a weird casting choice. Because it's so clearly Aaron Eisenberg, you know, it's
very much. So. It's like that's Nog.
Yeah,
it's not a Kazon.
It's Nog dressed as a Kazon.
Pretty much.
I actually really enjoy that episode. I know it got a few eye rolls from people because it starts off with a Kuchimoya kind of stuff.
It does.
But I mean, we get to see why Chakotay is such a good flyer. We see that he's able to take out a Kazon. Why is that funny?
Because Chakotay is infamous for crashing so many shuttles on the show.
Yes, but he survives. That's the important thing.
This is a good point. The shuttles don't survive, but he does.
No,
right. Yes, he's known for crashing a shuttle, but he took out a Kazon fighter with a Type 1 shuttle. Or I don't know if it's a Type 1, but it's not a Type 2. And those things aren't really known to be maneuverable.
No, it's a shuttle for crying out loud. It's not armed with quantum torpedoes or anything.
Yeah, so I just like it because we get to see the duality of Chakotay, where he's a good fighter, but then when he's confronted with this Kazon enemy, he says, he's like, just take a look at me. This is what a human is. This is what a Starfleet officer is. You know, and he tries to appeal to them. Even though it fails, he still tried rather than guns blazing. Now, he did go to guns blazing once... you know, diplomacy didn't work.
Right.
And I think that is the sign of a good captain, a good XO, and a good Starfleet officer, is once diplomacy fails, that's when you can bring out the gun.
Exactly. But the point is that he does try the diplomatic, very calm and collected approach first, and then uses violence only when he's exhausted every other option.
Right.
That really is Chakotay. He doesn't want to fight, but if he has to, he can and he will.
Well, it's just like when he said he's like, I'm a vegetarian. He's like, I'm not going to eat meat.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, can we talk about that?
Yeah, that's what I'm doing right now. He says, he's like, I'm a vegetarian. I'm not going to eat meat because I'm in an age where I can go get any kind of nutritional supplements that I need from the replicator, and I don't need to eat meat. But he's like, but if I'm stranded on a moon or if I'm stranded somewhere and I need to hunt a deer, I'm going to hunt a deer if it means survival. And I like that. I feel like that aspect of just his eating habits, his philosophical eating habits, is the same as his outlook on light. He's like, I'm going to be a kind man. I'm going to be a gentleman, and I'm going to be a fair man. But the moment that you piss me off, I'm going to throw you up against the wall.
There you go.
Okay. Now, can I bring up my point about Chakotay's vegetarianism? I'm not making any arguments for or against vegetarianism at all. I just... like how the writers forget that he is a vegetarian. This comes out, I think, in the third season. He mentions it very casually. He says to somebody, oh no thanks, I'm a vegetarian. But then later on, he's like eating lamb chops or...
Oh really?
I don't remember that.
Now if there it's like a meatless version created by the replicator or something, okay, fine, whatever. I mean, vegetarians today make meatless versions of kind of like what we would consider meat-like dishes.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't know that. It's not said.
That's
true. So it makes me think, well, what happened, Chakotay? Did you fall off the wagon or what, buddy?
Or
I figure, the writers just forgot that little tidbit about his personality. But the philosophy makes so much sense to Chakotay that it angers me that they abandoned it.
You're so right. You're so right. I didn't even because there was one time when like Janeway's replicator was going funky and she was going to make like a pot roast or something. I think it was.
Yeah. Like they had pot roasts every week a lot of times.
Yeah. I don't think that was for the two of them, though. I think that was somebody else. I don't think she did that for
She makes pot roast for everybody, I think.
Like, does she? Okay. I mean, I don't know.
She had some other officer. I forget it.
It was that chick that came back to life. that she was a purple alien. I remember that.
She burns the pot roast for her, but then she's had pot roast with Chakotay too, so they like pot roast. Okay, whatever.
Yeah, I think. Okay. But the thing is, I mean, as a vegetarian, you know, the main reason why they don't eat meat is because of cruelty to animals. I would assume that's the main reason.
It's a big reason. I mean, I'm not saying it's
the
issue.
I'm not saying it's the only reason. I'm saying it's a big reason.
Mm-hmm. And
if you have a replicator,
what's
you know,
the
there's
point?
No cruelty. Yeah, there's no cruelty to animals.
Yeah,
right. So, it's a non-issue.
So I guess I could argue that, like, unless Neelix got meat, like alien meat, you know, in the hall, which we've never seen him. I don't think we've ever seen him eat meat in the dining hall or the mess hall. So maybe he's, you know, a vegetarian for like in real life. But if it comes to replicated food, he'll eat whatever. I'm just trying to rationalize it.
Yeah. Because with the replicator, obviously, an animal wasn't killed for that. It's just reconstructed atoms. So what it tastes like.
Well, I cannot believe that we talked this long about vegetarianism in Star Trek.
Well, you know something? They brought it up. We've got to talk about it.
Yeah.
That's right. And, man, you just hit our mission statement right there, ladies and gentlemen. That is To the Journey's mission statement. They brought it up. And so we're going to talk about it.
Yeah, that's our slogan.
Okay, now, probably the worst Chakotay-centric episode I have ever seen, is the boxing one.
Mm.
Oh, the fight.
Terrible. The fight. Terrible.
It's not a good episode. Mm-mm.
I feel like Chakotay became Beverly Crusher towards the end of the series. Now, I really enjoy Beverly Crusher.
Okay, You guys are laughing at me. I'm just hysterical today.
No, I really like Beverly Crusher. I like her a lot. I like her character. I feel like she has a lot of great moments, but the writers just did not know her. They are confused by her. They did not know how to write for her, and I feel like that's what happened with Chakotay later on in the show, is that they had a great character who is involved in some of our greatest moments in Voyager, but he just can't handle an episode on his own because his writers are like, whatever, sure.
It seemed to me that if they weren't talking about his Native American heritage, they weren't sure what else to do with Chakotay, because to them, that's all he was.
We don't know much else about him. I mean, if you don't have character development, you don't have anywhere to go.
Exactly. And as we mentioned at the top of the episode, they didn't give him a nice long arc that he was going to progress through over the 7 years.
No.
The guy just didn't, they never gave it to him. And so, you know what? If Robert Beltran was bored, I think that was a reason why.
It's legitimate. Definitely.
I'm glad you brought that up, because we do need to talk about that. We need to talk about Robert Beltran getting bored towards the end of the series, because, you know, it's very notorious that he was not having fun on set anymore. And a lot of people say that you can see it in his eyes, that he just can't stand the technobabble that he's speaking. But the thing is, I have nothing but sympathy for him, because if you look at, I don't know, do you guys watch That 70s Show at all? Did you ever watch that when
a
it was on?
A little bit.
Sometimes.
I've seen it.
I'm a big That 70s Show fan, and Eric Foreman, who was the lead character in That 70s Show, was, in my opinion, one of the funniest and well-written characters in sitcom history, for Fox, at least.
Okay, and I can go with that.
And he was very funny for a very long time, but once you started getting to the later seasons, they had no idea what to do with these kids, or specifically his character, and so they were just giving him juvenile crap to do over and over again, and it was just foolish, and they weren't even focusing on him, and he was the lead character, and he left before the show was over because he's like, I just can't stand this anymore, and I have nothing but sympathy for him. And so I realized that with Robert Beltran, that yes, he stayed the full 7 years because, you know, he made a commitment, and also it's a paycheck.
Well, right. Lest we forget, the guy is an actor, and to have a steady gig like that is an honor and a privilege in that line of work. It just doesn't happen most of the time.
And there's also a video online.
Oh,
of
God,
him
yes.
In,
yeah.
Oh, man.
That infamous video of him online with that weird interview where he talks about how he hates Star Trek. He's like, just can't say. He's like, I don't know what I'm saying with the trans and phasic deucers and everything like that. And like, Kate Mulgrew commented on that video, and they're like, you have to know Robert. It's like, you have to know him to understand where he's coming from with that kind of humor. Like, did he actually feel those things? Absolutely. Is he trying to be funny? Yes, because that is Robert Beltran's humor. And I thought it was funny, too, because it's true. Like, the stuff that he was just rattling off is hard for your normal actor.
Well, it's true. I mean, and let's not forget that Robert Beltran came into this role not really being much of a sci-fi fan. So he's not familiar with the technobabble, and I understand it's a challenge. I mean, Kate Mulgrew has said it's harder than learning to read Japanese.
Right.
So, okay, to someone who's not familiar with it, we are familiar with it because we've heard it for years and years, but these actors come into it, and it's a foreign language, and it's difficult.
Yeah.
You have to pretend you understand what you're saying when you have no clue at all.
Like you're saying, you've heard it for years. I have not heard it for years, but honestly, the first time I watched TNG, the first time I watched it all the way through, that technobabble just went right by me. I didn't think anything about it because I was watching the show. I was watching. Mm. It didn't make any difference to me. So that argument really doesn't. I mean, I hear what you're saying, and I understand you have to be able to pronounce those words, and I'm sure you want to understand what you're saying, but what difference does that make, really? I mean, I don't know. That's just not something that bothers me.
None of us really does know what it all means. It's all made up.
Right.
I'm so glad you brought up this.
Speak for yourself. Okay.
Sure, Tristan. Okay,
yeah, right.
You know it
okay.
all. But I like this perspective because you are a younger fan. I mean, you haven't been into it for years and years and years like Tristan and I have. This is a refreshing perspective where, okay, you don't have the years underneath your belt and you're still saying it doesn't matter. Okay, this is interesting.
It doesn't matter to me. Now, I'll say, I mean, to other people, I'm sure that would drive them crazy if you mispronounced one little piece of technobabble or said it wrong or used it incorrectly. That might bother someone else. I don't know what you're talking about. That would be like me bringing up some kind of educational argument and using all kinds of theories, then you have no clue what I'm talking about, but you get the point of what I'm saying, even though you don't know exactly what I'm referring to.
Well, I think you bring up a very good point because, like, if you're a new Star Trek fan, then the words are just gibberish and you're just like, okay, let's just follow the plot. Like, whatever they said, I'm sure fix the problem.
Right.
But the thing is, there's a big difference between having it not bother you as an audience member and trying to act that
stuff.
Yeah, I was going to bring this up too.
Because I've acted in certain performances where I've had to have an accent or I've had to be like in the medical field and, you know, say all of this jargon. I'm like, I have no idea what it means. And it's harder for the process when you honestly have no idea what you're saying in that kind of jargon. And so I do have sympathy for them. There's a lot of I'd say 90% of all Star Trek actors are not sci-fi fans. Like that I've heard in interviews, like they came in, they're like, well, I was always aware of Star Trek, but I've never seen it. You know,
this
like
is true.
You hear that all the time. And so Robert Beltran's not the only one who feels this way.
Sure.
But I give him a pass in that video because I honestly thought it was funny. Like, thought it was funny.
It's an exaggeration of a certain amount of truth.
Right. And it's just like with William Shatner's Get a Life thing on Saturday Night Live.
Right.
Like, a lot of people were pissed at him that he said that. And he's just like, listen, this was just a sketch for Saturday Night Live. And then he ended up naming his book like that. Now, granted, Beltran wasn't on a sketch show. This was his own words.
Uh-huh.
It was, I don't know, it's still whatever. You know, it doesn't detract from the show, I think.
Maybe he was airing some complaints he had about the show, but seriously, come on. Let go just a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about, I want to talk about one more trivial thing.
Okay.
And then we'll talk about a big disappointment in the Chakotay franchise, as it were.
Okay.
If you look at Robert Beltran now, he is completely gray.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
He has longer gray hair. And I'm like, it's really weird to see him that way. But I'm like, hey, that's cool. You know, like you're different. You look different. You're getting older, but you look more distinguished. In Caretaker, we see him, you know, peppered with some streaks of gray. And then that continues on. And then all of a sudden, just one season, bam, jet black.
Yep, he brought out the hair dye because he's worth it.
Yeah, that has always bothered me. I've always thought it looked freakishly weird. It does not make him look younger. It makes him look older because he looks like he's trying to look younger.
And you know what? The gray was distinguishing for Chakotay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It added to what you were talking about earlier about how he's warm and gentle, and the gray kind of gives that learned look, like just come and talk with me. Like, we'll talk. You know, you can air your grievances. I'm not going to punch you in the face.
Unless you're being a jerk.
Yeah, unless you're being a jerk.
Yeah, it's true. I like the gray. It worked for me, too. I'm glad you brought that up now that you mention it.
Yeah. Because my father-in-law, don't tell anyone that I said this. Right.
He doesn't listen to the show, does he?
No. I don't think any family member listens to my show.
Okay, that's probably good.
To my input on this show. But, no, he's not completely gray, but he has a lot of gray coming in. I think he looks great with it.
Uh-huh.
And the whole family has finally been able to convince him that he looks good with gray, because every 2 weeks he would dye his hair jet black, and the man is almost in his 60s. And he would look like Steve Martin in Father of the Bride Part 2 when he put that crap in his
hair.
Oh,
yeah, that was so funny.
That, okay. Yeah, it is that drastic.
I got the visual. No, that does not work.
You look like an old man trying to look young, and that's what they did with Chakotay.
Yeah, no. And if you look at Robert Beltran now, his hair is gray. Mm-hmm. And he looks great with it.
Yeah, he looks fine.
He can rock it. Go with it.
Yeah, no, I don't. Okay, maybe that's what happened. Maybe he was graying really fast, and they just didn't want him to look. Because I understand you cannot have a peppered gray man in the first episode of the first season, and then, like, during the sixth season, have a completely gray guy on TV. It just doesn't work that way on TV.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it shouldn't or couldn't. I'm just saying that's not how it works on TV.
Yeah, that's not Hollywood.
Mm-mm. Right, and so they could have at least done that Just for Men gray, you know, like that.
Right, exactly. You know.
Left some of it gray, yeah.
Left some of it gray.
Yeah, they could have at least kept him where he started instead of going the full jet black.
I feel like if you see it, it's like Riker with or without the beard. If you see it without the beard, it's probably going to be a bad episode, but if you see him with a beard, it's probably going to be a good episode. It's like with Chakotay. If you see him with jet black hair, might not be so good. But no, I'm just joking. But okay, I hate to end on this note because we're running out of time.
Yeah, we filled this up fast.
And I know that I have talked for the lion's share, and I apologize, ladies, but I truly love Chakotay.
You've brought up great stuff.
Yeah,
apologize.
I hate to end on a sad note, but this was one of the greatest travesties in romance out of all of Star Trek. Because, first off, he doesn't really get much love throughout the entire series.
He has a hard time with the ladies. Like, he has a couple of relationships, but they do not go anywhere.
I feel like Harry has gotten more action than Chakotay, and that's just sad.
Yeah. There's a point there, yeah.
But one of the biggest travesties that I'm talking about is, yes, the Chakotay / Seven relationship in the very last episode.
Oh, you had to, didn't you?
Yeah.
Tristan, we're going to talk after we finish recording.
I'm sorry. You cannot talk about Chakotay without talking about this. Okay.
I guess.
So I know that they thought that they had some sort of lead up with the holographic storyline.
Mm-hmm.
The holographic Chakotay. Like, okay, when I saw that, I was like, oh, holographic Chakotay and real Seven are good together. But not once did I ever think real Chakotay and real Seven would be good together.
No, not in the slightest.
I really wish they wouldn't have done this. And you know the whole backstory, right, guys, about this being a dare?
Yeah.
No.
From Bronn and Brock. Really? Okay.
No, I don't know that story.
Some conversation happened, I think, early in the course of Season 7, where Chakotay dared Bronn and Braga to get Chakotay and Seven into a romantic plot somehow before the show is over. And the little did it. He called him on the dare and actually did it because Robert Beltran was complaining, I've not had much with the ladies here. Now, come on, get me 7 of 9. Now, that would redeem all that time where I had no action.
Mm-mm.
And then he did. Bronn and Braga actually did it.
That really, really surprises me. Like, you're just going to, like, go off of a dare or of a request.
Oh, come on now. Of all people, Bronn and Braga would do that.
Maybe, yeah.
Right?
It's just funny because you would think that, okay, after TNG, the showrunners of Star Trek, you know, Ira C. Barrett, Jerry Taylor, and Rick Berman all said that, okay, in TNG, all of these actors had way too much input on their characters. They had way too much input. They had too much to say. and we felt like we lost control over the characters. So in Deep Space Nine, they had 100% control over what their characters did and said. They had almost zero input, the actors, into their characters. And if they wanted to even change one syllable of a word, they had to check it with six different people beforehand. And so that really surprises me that in Voyager, that they were much more laxed than they were with DS9. It feels like TNG was one extreme, and then DS9 was another, and Voyager, maybe it was somewhere down the middle.
Well, it was the last episode, so maybe that was the reason.
Yeah, that's true. You're like, whatever, last episode.
Well, yeah, they sort of tried to get it going with the whole holographic thing, but I really just wish they wouldn't have done that, period. Yeah. It's such a mismatch. It's like a dirty old man trying to get the young girl.
I never really felt that way. I never thought about the age thing.
I mean, it's not quite as gross as Neelix and Kes. But really, mentally, Seven
I like Neelix and Kes way more than Chakotay and Seven.
That makes a lot more sense.
But on the gross factor.
Well,
I don't cringe as much watching Chakotay and Seven kiss as I do Neelix and Kes. Because in my canon, the relationship Neelix and Kes has is much more innocent and sweet. But Chakotay and Seven is a romantic, like a real romantic relationship. But I don't understand why this would work, because Seven mentally is kind of like a teenager trying to learn the intricacies of dating, which is why she was using holographic Chakotay sort of like as training wheels.
Yeah.
And who wouldn't, really?
To practice kissing and the whole rituals, all this sort of thing. But then he actually has an attraction to her?
He couldn't stand her. Yeah, he couldn't stand her up until that point. I mean, that was just...
They didn't even talk.
I don't know.
For all of those, all of you people out there listening who hate the Chakotay/Seven relationship as much as I do and as much as you guys do, I know I hate saying this all the time, but in the novels...
In the
novels that take place directly after... after Endgame, takes place right after Endgame. I mean, like, in the journey from the transwarp tunnel to Earth, I mean, that's where it picks up. They're not even at Earth yet.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, the author pretty much dissolves the relationship.
They break up.
Chakotay and Seven.
It's like the first paragraph of that novel.
I don't think this is going to work. Thanks. Thanks for the
dinner. Like the author was just like, BT dubs, this is done. So.
Yes. And in the latest one, now that Janeway is back, spoiler alert, they're back together, Chakotay and Janeway.
There you go.
Yeah, as it should be. Thank you very much.
The way that God intended it.
Chakotay is awesome in the novels while we're on this.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So much
better.
This
is the Chakotay I wanted to see on the show.
Exactly. So check those out and say her name again. Sure.
Kirsten Byers. She has written most of the newest of the Voyager novels.
And they're definitely worth a read if you're a Star Trek Voyager fan.
So we need to do an iTunes shout out to ChrissyM77. She gave us a 5-star review. So thank you very much for that. We appreciate that.
We love it when people contact us, and please contact us at trek.fm/contact. From there, you can email us, talk to us, tell us what you like, tell us what you don't like, tell us what you'd like us to talk about. We love it when people contact us and say, hey, I would really like an episode on blank, you know? We would love to do that, and we'd love to oblige. So please find us on iTunes, rate us there. Contact us, talk to us, find us on Twitter. You can find me at The Insane Robin on Twitter. There I do the Star Trek Question of the Day Monday through Friday at 10:30 a.m. Central Time. And Lori, where can we find you on Twitter?
I am at LoriS68, and you can contact me there.
You can find me on Twitter at Oh the Profanity. Sometimes I do spew profanity, just to warn you.
Well, thank you so much for listening. I had a great time talking about Chakotay, and we all three would love to hear what you guys think of Chakotay, what you liked about him, what you disliked about him, or if you're just lukewarm about him. So thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next time. This was To the Journey.
To the Journey!